large crowds followed him. Right away, a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus told him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony." He said to him, "Am I to come and heal him?" "Lord," the centurion replied, "I'm not worthy to come and have you under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers go under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from the east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus told the centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed at that very moment.
Thanks, Kayleen. Well, we're familiar with pandemics of recent times, with COVID. Back in the 1980s, there was another terrible sickness that was devastating communities everywhere. It wasn't a pandemic as such. It was called AIDS. Those of you who were around back in the 80s will remember this, I'm sure. AIDS is a disease that was spread through sexual encounters and also through blood transfusions. And a lot of people were scared, especially in the early days before it was properly understood, and thinking that perhaps you could just catch it by talking with someone through the air or touching someone. And sadly, there was also a stigma about AIDS because it was something that was particularly passed around in the gay community. Some people looked down on people who were suffering with AIDS and perhaps condemned them. It's their own fault, people thought. But back in 1989, there was a significant moment that kind of changed. It was a beautiful moment of compassion. It changed our attitudes to people with AIDS. Princess Diana went to New York and visited a hospital in Harlem full of people suffering with AIDS. She sat down and talked with them. She shook their hands. And famously, she picked up a little boy who was suffering with AIDS and hugged him. And the photo went all around the world. Now, if you weren't around at the time to remember when this happened, you might have seen it on The Crown. But they got a different outfit on her. There it is. That is compassion, isn't it? She was a famous woman, a powerful woman, a glamorous woman, and she could easily have kept her distance from people who were suffering. But she came alongside. She cared. She did what she could, and that is the beauty of compassion. But sadly, it is quite a rare thing for someone in her position to be doing that. So many powerful people in our world are busy making money, keeping power, building empires, busy, busy, busy reaching their goals, and sometimes people get left behind. The vulnerable, the marginalised get forgotten. Now we want and we need good, strong, wise, courageous leaders, people who will get things done. But we also really need and value leaders who care about people and show compassion. And sadly, that combination is often something that is quite rare. Strong, authority, powerful leadership and deep, loving, caring compassion. But when we do see it, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to say to you this morning that we see it most perfectly in Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to meet Jesus, who is not only full of power and authority, but full of compassion. We heard in that reading from Matthew's Gospel about two people who met Jesus face to face when he was here with us. There was a man with leprosy, a terrible skin disease, and a soldier, a Roman centurion. And these two people discover not only that Jesus had amazing authority, but that he was also wonderfully full of compassion. And we're going to trace their encounters with Jesus this morning and hopefully learn three things about the compassion of Jesus that they discovered. The first is, we learn that Jesus had compassion for all kinds of people. Just think about these two people we're talking about here that meet Jesus. They were both about as marginalised from the Jewish society of that time. I'm not talking about the modern Israel, I'm talking about ancient Israel. They were as marginalised as it was possible to be at that time. See, leprosy was a terrible disease. According to Jewish laws, if you had leprosy, you had to isolate yourself from the rest of society, not just for health reasons, but for religious reasons. You were unclean. You were dirty, like those hands in Ollie's picture. You were not acceptable among respectable people who were part of God's community. In fact, if anyone came near to you, you were supposed to call out, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one would come near by accident and be contaminated by you. Imagine what that would have been like. We're a bit familiar with isolation, aren't we? If you've got COVID, Ross is over there isolating this morning, but hopefully he'll be able to come out in the next week. This man with this leprosy had the rest of his life been cut off socially, physically, and spiritually from his family, his friends, his whole society. It was a terrible condition that he had to endure. And it's this man who comes up to Jesus and kneels before him and speaks to him. A man with leprosy came up, knelt before him saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He knew that Jesus was able. It was no secret that Jesus had been healing lots of people. That's why in verse 1 it says large crowds followed him. I'll tell you, if someone was doing the healings that Jesus was doing back then, today there'd be more people crowding around him than went to Taylor Swift when she was here. There would be millions of people because he genuinely healed people. And large crowds were following him. And this man somehow or other made it to Jesus. Maybe as he came, the crowd parted, as it were, to keep away from him. But he makes it to Jesus and falls on his knees. "If you are willing, Jesus, I know you can do it, but if you are willing, make me clean." Not just cured, but clean. This is a man who was desperate. And Jesus not only does heal him, but as we read in the next verse there, reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be made clean." I think I've got a slide. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Now, Jesus didn't just heal him, did he? He did something else. It's like verse 3 goes into slow motion, and we're told the same thing in two ways. Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him. The man that no one else would even go near. The man with a skin disease that Jesus could have caught. The one who was unclean that Jesus could have been contaminated by, Jesus touched him. It's beautiful. Why does Jesus do this? Well, the word's not mentioned here in this passage, but it's because of his compassion. When we read Mark's account of this, he makes it explicit for us. See there? Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. And he says, "I am willing. Be made clean." This is the beautiful compassion of Jesus. He cares deeply, even for a man with leprosy. And then the other unlikely man comes up, the Roman centurion. He was a Roman soldier, a man in charge of 100 foot soldiers. That's why he's called a centurion. He didn't share the same Jewish heritage and religion as Jesus. In fact, Romans were non-Jews, they were Gentiles. They were people that Jews weren't allowed to associate with. They weren't allowed to go and visit them in their home. It would contaminate them. And not only that, but this man was part of the enemy, the occupying forces in the land at that time. He was one of those who the Jews were opposed to. And here is this enemy, this powerful man who comes to Jesus and shows remarkable faith. He comes because he's distressed, because he has a servant who has become paralyzed and is in terrible pain. He can't fix it. This man gives orders to all kinds of people to do all kinds of things, but this is out of his control. So he comes to the man that he has heard can do something about even this. And he comes to Jesus and he actually says to him, "Jesus, you don't even have to come to my home." I think he knew he was a Gentile, and a Jewish teacher like Jesus wasn't supposed to. "You don't even have to come to my home. Just say the word and it'll be done." Here's what he said: "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." This is incredible faith. And look what happens. Jesus has this man come to him, this outsider, and Jesus told him, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that very moment. Jesus has incredible authority to do what we call miracles. But for the one who came as the Son of God into this world with all God's authority, this is what he does. But it's not just that he is able. He is willing. He is full of compassion on all kinds of people. Now, these were very different men, but both outsiders to the establishment, weren't they? But Jesus had compassion on both of them. And that's impressive, because it's one thing to care for your own family. It's one thing to care for your own people, or for cute people even, or good people. Heroes to us that we might want to do something for. But Jesus has compassion on all kinds of people, even his enemies, even those who are despised and rejected by society. If you read through the next two chapters, and I hope you do get a chance to do it, because it's such wonderful stuff to read, chapters 8 and 9, we see a whole series of people that you wouldn't expect come to Jesus, and he has compassion on them. There's an old woman. There's a demon-possessed man who was seriously disturbed. Two blind men come. Someone who was paralyzed, lowered down through the roof. There are tax collectors and sinners, the people who were looked down upon by the morally and religious upright of society. And then Jesus' compassion on all kinds of people is confirmed at the end of chapter 9 in these words. Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. He was amazing. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked out on the people and he saw that they were lost. They didn't have a leader who was teaching them the way to go. They didn't have anyone to guide them and protect them. They were confused, they were lost, much like our world is today. But Jesus had compassion on them. And you know what he does? He tells his disciples to pray for people to go into his harvest field and teach them about God and about Jesus. And then they're the answer to their own prayers, because Jesus sends them out to do it themselves. That's what happens in chapter 10. So Jesus, you see here, we see his heart of compassion for all kinds of people. Now, this is really important for us to see, because sometimes we Christians, sometimes churches can give a wrong impression about Jesus and his compassion. We can give the impression that Jesus is only for good people, for middle-class, white people who have got their life together, perhaps. And sometimes we can not show compassion but actually send an opposite message that Jesus' people are cold and hard and more likely to condemn and reject and exclude than to show compassion. Sometimes that's how people, that's what, sadly, people who are church members do. And that's what the message that's communicated. Often, Jesus is not associated with compassion for the weak and vulnerable, but with pomp and ceremony and powerful institutions. No wonder people feel intimidated and think that Jesus is not for them if it's all of that kind of stuff that's going on. And often Jesus gets used by politicians to support their cause and try and get people to vote for them in their lust for power. Can you see how far away these portrayals of Christianity are from the real Jesus, who is full of compassion for all kinds of people? The real Jesus, make no mistake, is full of power and authority. That's not wrong. But in the right hands of someone who is full of compassion, who serves people and lays down his life for them, well, that's a beautiful thing. Unlike much of what goes for Christianity in our world, Jesus is full of beautiful compassion for all kinds of people. People like you, people like me. That's the first thing that we learn. The second thing is, and the next two are much quicker than the first one, that compassion that Jesus has and shows is compassion that actually does something. Now, this might sound really obvious, but I think it's worth saying. His compassion translates into action. See, the word compassion is an emotional kind of description, isn't it? We feel something. And make no mistake, Jesus felt plenty. The word compassion in the Gospels that is used to describe Jesus is also the word for intestines. Now, that might sound strange to us because we think, you know, you have compassion in your heart, don't you? It's from the heart. But in this time, in this world, it was from the guts that you had compassion. Jesus' guts churned when he saw people who were in need. People who were lost, people who were suffering. He feels deeply, but it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop with his feelings. He actually cleansed the man with leprosy. He did something. He healed the centurion's servant. Now, I have to confess to you, this is so different to me. See, I don't always see someone's need, let alone feel deeply with a gut-wrenching compassion for them. Let alone try and do something about it. To my shame, so often, I close off my heart. I cross the road to avoid the troublesome person. Or I somehow look down on them and think, why did they end up like that? And even in my best moments of compassion, so often, I really can't do much to help people and the needs of people in the world because I just don't have the power. I suspect that most of us are like that. But don't miss the wonderful truth today. I often don't and can't help people. But Jesus does. He feels deeply for people's situations and he can and he does help them. I can't and don't, but Jesus can and does. He's full of compassion. But you might say, well, that's all right for the man with leprosy and the centurion back then. But what will Jesus do for me here and now? You know, I've got this sickness. I've got this difficulty. I've got this problem, this pain. Where is the compassion of Jesus for me today that does something? Well, I want to say two things in response to that. The first is, although I just pointed out some of the somewhat ugly ways that Christianity is presented around the place today, please don't ignore the reality that so many people who follow Jesus follow his wonderful compassion as well. You probably know some. You've met them yourself. There are many in this church. And right from the beginning, after the time of Jesus, the first Christians were known in the Roman Empire for taking in people that the Romans rejected and put on the street. They straight away started caring for the poor and the vulnerable. And all through history, this has continued. How many of the institutions that care in our world have been started by Christians? The orphanages, the hospitals, the schools, the aid agencies. Christians who follow Jesus follow him in his compassion for those in need. It's a beautiful thing. But we also need to go one step further. You see, Jesus did something even bigger and better than healing this man with leprosy or the centurion's servant. You see, he came into the world, he gave up everything. He gave up his place in heaven. He came into the world and gave up his... He didn't live in a fancy house. He was rejected. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was beaten up and he was crucified. Why? Well, his whole life was a mission of compassion. He saw and he felt our biggest need, which is to be right with God, because all of us fail to treat God the way we should. We deserve God's anger, his condemnation. But Jesus took it for us. He died so we don't have to die. That's the compassion of Jesus. He died so that we can be forgiven and accepted into God's family, and we can share the future that he has prepared for us, which is better than anything in this world. Everyone who's healed in this world will eventually die. No one has lived beyond a few hundred years or so. But Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he promises a world where there will be no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain, no more tears. But we will be with the Lord, enjoying life forever. That's the compassion of Jesus. He brings us something much bigger and better than even the best that we might hope for in this world. Jesus has compassion that actually does something. Finally, Jesus has compassion for all who come to him. You see, although Jesus' compassion is available for all kinds of people, whoever you are, you can come to Jesus. The actual action, the actual benefits of his compassion will only come directly for those who come to him, who seek it from him. There are indirect benefits. Lots of people benefit from the compassion of Christians for society. But directly, to share in his eternal life that he gives, we can only happen as we come to him. That's what these two people did. The man with leprosy came up to Jesus and fell on his knees and begged him. The centurion came and pleaded with Jesus. They didn't stay at home and do nothing. That's not how it works. They actually had to come to Jesus. You see, the key thing for God is not whether you are born into the right family, a Christian family, or whether you come from the right culture, a Christianized culture. Those things don't matter to God. What matters to God is that you come to Jesus, his son, the king he's appointed to rule your life, the one that he's given to die in your place. If you don't come to him, how do you expect to benefit from him? Jesus is full of compassion for all who actually come to him. And so whether you're an insider or an outsider, whether you're part of the strong in society or the weak, whether you feel excluded or included, you can come to Jesus. And we see this in the passage in a couple of verses that are so far I've skipped over, but probably struck you as Kayleen read them for you as being pretty strong from Jesus. Jesus spoke about all kinds of things way beyond our capability to speak about. He spoke with authority, even about eternity. This is what he said to the centurion. When he was blown away by the centurion's faith, this non-Jewish person who trusted that Jesus could heal his servant just with a word, Jesus said, "I haven't seen such faith in Israel. This is amazing." And then he says, "I tell you that many will come from east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking here about that future that I was just referring to. It's pictured as a banquet where all of the people who come and trust in Jesus sit down with God and enjoy his blessings around his table as his family forever and ever and ever. And this is for those people who have come to Jesus and received his compassion. And Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, it's not just the people of Israel who are going to be at this table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great ones from the past, but people like the centurion, people from the east, even from New Zealand and Hong Kong, people who are from Janali, who come to Jesus, will take their place around that table. But, he says, the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the will be thrown into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, much grief and frustration, because these are people who have been part of the community of God's people. These are the religious people who've come to church every week, but have not actually come to Jesus and sought his compassion. You see, in the end, these people were not trusting in Jesus to save them. They were not serving Jesus as their Lord. They were relying on their own religious associations and works. Jesus says they'll be thrown out. Now, that's a pretty serious word, isn't it? Jesus is full of compassion for people who come to him, even outsiders who come to him. He actually says that anyone who comes to him, he will never drive away. How good is that? And here's this verse. Just a couple of chapters later, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Anyone feeling weary and burdened here? He says, I will give you rest. That's another way of talking about that future, around the banquet, feasting with God. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What a beautiful invitation. If you come to Jesus, he will welcome you, forgive you, give you a new life with God that starts now and lasts forever. This is the compassion of Jesus. It's for all kinds of people, even you, whoever you are. It's compassion that does something. He will change your life now and forever. And it's compassion for all who come to him. And so the bottom line of our this talk this morning, what we discover as we meet Jesus in the pages of the gospel, is that we can trust Jesus, who is full of compassion. Of course, we can't go to Jesus in person like the man with the leprosy and the centurion, but we do know that after Jesus died, God raised him from the dead. He's alive right now. He is real, ruling the world with God in heaven. And that means we can still go to him. We go to him by praying to him. We can ask him to accept us and forgive us and change us and take us into his banquet, into his family, into his kingdom, and he will. He can and he does do something. He's able to because he's the powerful Son of God with all God's authority, and he's also at the same time the leader that we long for, that is so rare, who is also full of beautiful compassion. Now, some of us here today might not be ready yet to go to Jesus and trust and obey him. You've only just met him. How are you going to commit yourself to him and trust him with your life? If that's you, I want to say, please keep looking at Jesus. Keep getting to know him. Come back next week. We're going to see more about Jesus, because the more you discover about Jesus, the more wonderful he is. He is full of compassion. Some of us might be hesitant to come to Jesus because we worry that maybe Jesus is not going to accept us. I don't come from the right family. I don't come from a Christian background. I've never had much to do with church. I don't know much about Jesus. Well, let me reassure you, neither did the centurion. And Jesus praised him and assured him that all people from whatever background, whoever will come to him, Jesus will welcome. He's full of compassion. He'll welcome even you. But some of us also might be scared. You might know that Jesus is real. You might know that, yes, in theory, he'll welcome me, but you just don't feel worthy. You know that you've been resisting him for so long, why would he forgive you now? Maybe you're even one of the insiders, but you know that you've never really put your trust in Jesus, and you're scared now that you'll be one of those thrown out that Jesus warned us about. But I say to you today, whatever you have done, know what Jesus has done. He came to save you. He came to die for you. He came so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. So turn to him. Trust him. He is full of compassion. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, the beautiful compassion that he showed. Lord, please forgive us as Christians in the church, especially me as a Christian leader, for not following Jesus in the same compassion that he had. Lord, please help us, each one of us, to look to Jesus and see just how magnificent he is, so that we might trust him and obey him, and that we might benefit from what he has done for us and be seated with you forever and ever in that banquet in heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.